Nehemiah, we ain't quite got finished up, and we might not get there today. We'll seem like some, kind of felt like maybe we'd step back just a little bit because it felt like we rushed up a little bit there at the end of the 10th chapter. Maybe just kind of touch on that a little bit. But keeping in mind there in 10 and 29, says that they said they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath. And that oath will come back up here in just a bit in the 12th or 13th chapter, if we get that far today. But recognizing they went into that oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God, or the Lord our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes. And that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And this was talking about the how they'd make an ordinance to charge themselves here. Just a little bit, we'll read that. As we get on down there into 32, it says, also we made an ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with a third part of a shekel for the service of the house of God. if you read back into Exodus 30 and 13, that third part of a shekel was a little bit light, as we might refer to it. At 30 and 13, it says, this they shall give everyone that passeth among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is a 20 gerahs, and a half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. It's amazing. You know what? It seems like when they put a value, when they get down to some detail in the Bible, it's normally worth looking at. It's either already said something to that effect and it's supporting it, or there's been a change and it don't necessarily tell you there's a change. But there in Nehemiah, you know, it talks about, hey, we'll do this third part. Well, you, for whatever reason, you get to thinking, well, where does that come from? And most of the time, it's going to refer you back to the law, and you'll find it there in Exodus somewhere, or Numbers, or Leviticus, or something along that nature. Maybe Deuteronomy, but yeah, and this one, so they're pulling a little light. What we've read about before, you know, there was money problems there and things like that. So maybe that's pointing to that. I don't know that, but I can't imagine them just backing off that for no other reason, because it's definitely in the law. And they just talked about trying to observe all the laws and the commandments. So just a little bit odd there. But if that's all you can afford, that's all you can afford. You know, it talks more about the tithing and it being the tenth as opposed to a certain amount that each individual should give. But just kind of recognize that this morning. Like I said, just kind of rushed through that last week and didn't get a chance to touch on that, but. And then the 33rd there, for the showbread and for the continual meat offering and for the continual burnt offerings of the Sabbath, of the new moons, for the set feast and for the holy things and for the sin offerings to make an atonement for Israel for all the work of the house of our God. So that was supposed to be done there. In 34, and we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering to bring it unto the house of our God after the houses of our fathers at times appointed year by year burnt upon the altar of the Lord our God as it is written in the law. So there again, casting of the lots. We talked about that a little while back, but that wasn't a game of chance the way that we would look at it. It's more of looking out for God's divine will to be done. They believed that they could... as they were choosing King Saul at the time, they whittled it down to families or by tribes, and then they whittled it down to families, but then it got down to they just didn't know the right one to pick, but then they cast lots. So that casting the lots, they believed that God would show himself in this and that God would be the one choosing. Some people, when you read some of these commentaries, they might even say that casting of the lots is like a lottery, but I just want to make sure it's not a game of chance. It's, hey, luck went your way, we chose this man over this man, or whatever. That ain't what they're talking about. They're talking about they seek out God's face so that they could get the proper ones. And they even did this for the ones to bring the wood. Thought that was pretty interesting. But there in the 35th, and to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all the fruit of all the trees year by year unto the house of the Lord. Also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks to bring to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister unto the house of our God. And that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all the manner of trees, of wine and of oil unto the priests to the chambers of the house of our God. And the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. Now they talked about bringing all these things and bringing these offerings. And where were they supposed to bring them? To the chamber of the house of our God. That's going to come up again here in just a bit in the 12th and 13th chapters. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God, to the chambers and to the treasure house. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offerings of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters, and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of our God. And the rulers of the people, it's starting in the 11th chapter, and the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that were willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Now that, I slow down there and try to make sure we understand what's going on, and mostly me, because, boy, you think they're on a roll. You think everything's going their way. They Zerubbabel came in and built the altar, and then all the men pulled together and they built the temple. And then Ezra comes in and starts laying out the law, and you think people's following that. Then Nehemiah comes in and supporting what Ezra's already doing, and now they built the walls all the way around and had these walls built in 52 days. Everything that we've read up until this point, boy, it looks like things are going pretty well. But then you read this and it says that it seems like they're finding trouble, finding people willing to come in and live in Jerusalem. We may read that again. And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. That's a good thing. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem. So it sounds like they're basically saying, hey, we need people to occupy this place, and we need at least a tenth of you to come in. And then it down below that in the second, and the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. That leads me to believe there was a hardship living there in Jerusalem. Now, I wonder why that would be. It's as we read through this, I think you're going to see Nehemiah starts dealing with the same stuff that he's already dealt with. He thought he had it put away. It's still there. Some of it rears its head up again. Some of the stuff that Ezra had dealt with 13 years prior, some of it's still going on. They said they were going to do away with it and didn't. There was oaths taken that they decided not to follow up with. So it's the typical Jerusalem people doing what they've always done, saying that they're going to do one thing and not do it, saying that they're going to follow God's statutes and commandments and not do it. And every one of us is just as guilty. We look back at them, and boy, we can see their faults, but we won't see ours. But right. We are just as guilty when it comes to that. But it's some of these little things just kind of pop out there and kind of point that out. Now, as we read the third through, I don't know, we may get into the 12th chapter there some before it really starts coming back around. So, well, it kind of gets off subject a little bit. 11:3 through several verses there, it talks about the some of the people and several names and priests and things of that nature. But it's just kind of setting the tone that Some of these people have been back there for a while. Some of them were priests that came back with Zerubbabel. Some of them's been there for some time. It's a good thing to look at it for lineage-wise and to know that they're the proper people in these positions, but these people ain't doing what they need to do sometimes, but they're still trying to follow the law and still trying to, somewhat trying to do these things, but trying not to rush these thoughts this morning. But has anybody got any thoughts thus far on that 11, 1 and 2 for sure? That just, again, just really odd that, boy, you would think, Jerusalem, boy, there ought to have been people fighting to live in there. They ought to have been telling hey, we can't have all of y'all in here. We can only have a few of you. You know, you thought it would have been that way, or I would have.
It makes you just sort of wonder, is that having reference and sort of running like parallel with the pillars of the church, the one out of ten that's willing to maintain in Jerusalem, to stay there, come what may, good or bad.
Amen.
They probably had special duties inside of Jerusalem, maybe that the other nine wouldn't have had outside, you know, out in the other cities of Judea.
Amen.
And it just makes you wonder, those nine, maybe they just, thought, well, if I live over here in Bethpage or one of these other cities over here, I can just go about my own business and still, we still go to worship in Jerusalem, on the Sabbath. I wonder if that runs a little bit parallel with the pillars of the church that's going to stick come what may,
Amen.
Mary Lee Dyer over there, a lot of the younger people of the church don't have a clue what she went through at one time.
Man.
We had these old church issues about having fellowship with the church and all that stuff was coming. And that woman, she stuck. She stuck to the very end. I never had pulled that out at all. But it just sort of makes you wonder if some of those that one out of ten is running reference to those that were willing to sort of be the pillars of the church.
Amen. That kind of went somewhat with my thoughts too. I was thinking a lot of the building was still left to do. We read in a few chapters before this, it talked about that they were supposed to come in and build homes and stuff like that. Well, evidently they didn't do that. Evidently it's a whole lot easier to stay in a city that's already established. Already got Walmart and Dollar General, real easy to go and grab what you need. Water's there, wells dug, whatever else, We got to think, the walls were tore down. There were water gates we know that had to be resurrected. We can only assume that maybe some, there was aquifers that come into Jerusalem. There was water that was actually imported up that somehow flowed uphill with enough force that it got to a city on the hill and that never went dry. Otherwise, there would have been easily, you could have cut off the waters and starved them out and people could have come and conquered them long before they did. So all of those things play it. There's a whole lot of work here to be done. There's so just like what Brother Barry was saying.
You got to keep in mind, they were the most popular people.
Amen.
There were the reasons why they ended up in places they did before.
That's right.
The big part of the world was against them.
Amen.
And you go right to under, you're saying, well, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
And, you're putting out on yourself, but your family, I think about the ones that was following Christ, and he was telling them about, if you're going to take the part of me, you're going to have to take the part of the body and the blood, and that offended a bunch of them. From that time on, a bunch of them turned and went away.
Yeah, amen.
And then there was a few, he asked them, are you going to leave too? And Peter said, where to go? So, there's always just been a few that's been willing to go through to be the ones.
Amen.
To take the pressure, and like you said, the work, the pressure that you're going to be under, and you're going to be hated for His name.
Yep. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, good thoughts. A lot of good thoughts for that. So that's somewhat our what I was thinking is that there's work there to do. Like Brother Jeff was saying, hey, now you're putting yourself out there. You've got everybody kind of eyeing you. And whenever they came in, whenever Nehemiah came in, you had Tobiah and Sanballat on them from the word go. Yeah. You know, and they'll show back up here in just a little bit. But it seemed like they can't put them away. But a lot of work still needed to make this city a thriving city spiritually and economically. There's still a lot of work there to be done. And like Brother Barry touched on, boy, if you can't relate that to the church right now with the true pillars, the ones that are, do we have a church full come in here on Sundays pretty regular? Yeah. But when it gets right down to it, the Monday through Saturday work, the treasury work that Brother Bill does, going to the bank and stuff like all of that stuff, it ain't seen. That stuff ain't seen. Going up there and maybe getting loans to do some of the stuff that we do. And, you know, there's a whole lot of work going on.
Yeah.
And that's why they need the people in there living in there. They've got work 7 days a week to do, and they ain't got enough people to do it.
Yeah.
So we really need to look at this and compare ourselves to this today. And are we one of them that wants to live outside the city for 6 days and only come in to worship and run back to our comfort of our home and to not be willing to stay in the city to build and to work and to establish these things needed that would help the city or church and now for the future of our generations? Yeah. 11:1, it said, the leaders of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. That's a strong characteristic of good leaders, that they're living and doing and doing what they say that they need to do. But that ain't just something that you can just, well, that's what I need to do as a leader. If it's not a labor of love, that's going to show up real quick. Are these true leaders? So that was one of the thoughts we had. So it's, if you're not doing this, said that, and 1 out of 10 people that didn't volunteer, basically, were then selected by the casting of lots. Now, that could be people that just didn't want to jump up and say, pick me, pick me. Maybe they were more humble. Maybe they were, well, Lord, I ain't got a clear direction, but I'm willing. And if it be in your divine will that the lots would come my way, I'll go. So I don't want to just point out those 9 that they weren't necessarily willing to go, but they were wanting to wait on the Lord to give them direction. And I don't think there's a thing in the world wrong with that.
Right.
So this was not so much of a game of chance like we talked about, but the divine will of God. The people that went in to live had a unique pioneer spirit, maybe a good way to put it. They had the ability to endure some measure of hardships or discomfort to accomplish a great work for God's kingdom. And Zechariah, over there in his writing, maybe we can find that past the book of Haggai. Zechariah 4:10. If somebody can read that, if y'all can find it real quick. Probably better than me right now. Four and ten. Anybody got that? So the part I really liked out of that, for who hath despised the day of small things, these small things that has to be done Monday through Saturday and even on Sunday, as I'm putting it, and I don't want to get that mixed up with the Sabbath and what day that fell on, but just saying the other 6 days a week, there's no small things. In fact, it says if it was despised of the for who hath despised the day of small things. So everything's got to be done, even the small stuff.
Yep.
And then I've got some scriptures. scratched up notes here, doing good to read it myself, but may not be worth it at this point. But 11, 1, and 2, really, really got a lot out of those two this morning. Any other thoughts on any of that?
I know when they didn't build the temple, of course it fell on Solomon, but David, he did it all the people together prior, you know, to sort of bootstart it and help his son out. He asked the question there, and among the whole congregation, because we refer to it as Solomon's temple, but it's actually the Lord's, and
Amen.
The burden was put on Solomon. But the question David asked, I've always said that addresses to us today too, but he said, you saw much of that one out of ten, but he said, who is willing, talking to the entire congregation, who is willing to consecrate his service this day
Amen.
Unto the Lord? And I guess you look at what was going on, casting that lot for the Lord's will, one out of ten, I'd probably been one of them and said, well, just pull my name out of the hat.
Yeah.
You know, you sit there and you think, well, ain't no big deal. Well, you really think about it. This is going to determine where you live and raise your children.
Amen.
Who's really willing to put their confidence in casting that lot for the Lord's will? And how easy it would have been just, pull my name out of that.
Yeah. You Amen. Know?
So, and God sees the intents of our heart. Well, we can jump up and say, I love the Lord. I'm going to worship God. You won't stop me. And God sees it every day.
Amen.
He sees the intents of our heart. And sometimes, sometimes sort of like, I don't know, those that holler the loudest is the first ones running the other way.
Amen.
I'm glad God sees the intents of our heart, though.
Yes. Amen. Anything else? Amen.
Throughout Judah, the rest of the parts of Israel. So these men are being asked to leave homes already built, maybe generational homes. Not nearly every person was carried off.
That's right.
And maybe they lived there to farm their own fields.
Amen.
So now one out of ten, leave the whole home that you built, and your dad, your grandfather, whatever else, leave the lands, leave the buildings. You're going to get them to the most dangerous city in Judah.
Yeah. Well said. So that, those lands that
well,
they
I
had.
Just say it.
That's amen. Amen.
That was, we've been trying to say.
Yeah, we've been trying our best to spit that out, but well said.
Well, you
but
take
yeah, mind. You summed it up.
Stanley, or my neighbor there, just
yeah.
up and just leave everything.
Yeah.
You know, he married me and she loved, and he was packing his stuff. Married us. We went down there before he left, and he was leaving, and his old house just failed. His farm, at one time, nearly lost it to taxes, and I know one for preaching, brother, and I won't get into that, but went to pay his taxes and heard talking up there that his tax was they to sell his farm, and he paid his taxes.
Amen.
You know, but heck, he just left it all behind, just left his job, and just got his gotten
over
U-Haul and
loaded
this stuff up.
God bless.
And you know, there ain't too many
that's right.
willing to do that.
Amen.
And you know what? You take Rick, Brother Ricky, Brother Paul Bryson.
Amen.
You know, men that just give everything up.
Amen.
Paul Bryson sold his chicken farm. He had it made. And just give it all up. And then spend it all with the ministry.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
There's the ones he's talking about.
Amen.
The ones that was willing to let everything go And boy, I'm telling you, it's a big deal.
Being the new Jerusalem.
Carrying.
Yeah, that's right.
No, carrying down to camp too.
Yeah, you know? Moved off to.
I mean, people do it, you know, and it's just, it ain't every one of us do that. You know, some of us give up a little, but then some give up all.
Amen. Amen. I guess that's the ones that really get it. They get it. 11:3-24, I ain't necessarily dodging it, but there's a whole lot of names, things like that going on. Basically, the laymen are listed in 3-9. The priests are listed 10-14. Levites are listed 15-18. And the porters or gatekeepers are listed there in 19. The Nethinims, as they put it, basically the temple servants, they're listed there in 21. So a lot of names there, a lot of things, but this kind of taking us off the subject there a little bit. But in 12:1-9, that's talking about, these are names of 22 priests and 8 Levites who returned with Zerubbabel. 15 of these priests are listed among those who sealed the covenant earlier in Nehemiah. So all of this is showing the genealogy is right. The people that agreed to the oath was already there. Some of these names you'll read back through and they match up. So these aren't people that didn't agree to this oath. And that's kind of what they're setting you up for. As you read through 12:10-11, it kind of bridges the gap between the first generation after the exile to Nehemiah's day. So that's kind of what that pulls you into if you go back and understand all those names. But they don't just put these names in there for no reason. And a lot of times you'll find them in this list, or they'll do the son of, or this begot that, or that type stuff. But you can line this group up with the people that were pre-exile, and these are post-exile, if you want to look at it that way. 12:27-47. This is Probably worth reading. This is the at the dedication. Not saying others ain't. I want to back up. This is more pertaining to the wall and the dedication, and not necessarily getting tied up in the genealogy at this time. It may very well be needed someday, but in our study right now, just not as relatable to the subject. But definitely needed. 12:27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Tophathi, also from the house of Gilgal, and out of the fields of Geba and Asmaveth, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. So again, this is some of them that are outside of Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed 2 great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate, and after them went. But just recognize as we go through this, I don't reckon there's any way that I've read before of how to dedicate a wall. So if you're Nehemiah, I can't imagine. I mean, I don't even know that I'd have thought about that. The wall's built. What else you want? You know, who? But for them to just, I don't know how they think about this. I don't know. I'm sure it was something to be so, but to dedicate a wall, that's wow. But then they spare no expense. They bring in all the people that they can think of, the confidence that they've got in these Levites, and let's bless it, let's clean it, let's do something. We're going to dedicate this wall, and I believe because of that dedication, at that point now you got a memorial. Now you can say you remember when this was dedicated. You remember maybe it's part of the preserving of the wall. If you just built it and said nothing else about it, would the next generation allow it to decay? But if more people hear about it and see all the work that was done and all the appreciation, I don't know. I just, but to, again, there's no handbook. Hey, when you get ready to dedicate a wall, here's what you do, and here's the people you pull in. That stuff doesn't exist. It said, "Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and pointed two great companies of them that gave thanks whereof. One went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate, and after them went Hoshea and half of the princes of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshullam, Judah and Benjamin and Shemaiah and Jeremiah and certain of the priest's sons with trumpets, namely Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Meshiah, and the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his brethren Shemaiah and Azrael and Malaliah, Gilaliah, Maiah, Nathaniel, and Judah, Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra, the scribe before them. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David at the going up of the wall above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them. And I after them, and the half of the people upon the wall from beyond the tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall. And from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of the Hananiel, and the tower of Mia, even unto the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I, and the half of the rulers with me, and the priest, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamim, Mishiah, Eliwaniah, Zechariah, and Hananiah with trumpets, and Maaseiah, and Shemaiah, and Eleazar, and Uzi, and Johanan, and Malchijah, and Elam, and Ezer, and the singers sang loud with Jezariah, their overseer. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off." Probably been a while since something like that's been heard around Jerusalem. "And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures." Now notice that. At that time some were appointed. That's going to probably come back up. "For the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes to gather into them out of the fields of the cities, the portions of the law of the priest and the Levites for Judah, rejoice for the priest and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandments of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron." So they were, it said, from the days of Zerubbabel to Nehemiah, they gave the portions of the singers and the porters. The doorkeepers and the singers, they made sure that they were given what they needed, meaning they had a job to do and that they didn't need to be going out and having to worry about gathering food or trying to get food, things like that. Those portions were given to them. Mm-hmm. On the 13th chapter, we may get started into it just a little bit, but I definitely don't want to rush this chapter. This is a lot going on here. Now, a lot of this kind of comes back and starts showing some of the failures already. "On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come unto the congregation of God forever." Now that's how it's put in 13 and 1. When that statement's made, again, we should start looking, well, what is the law? There it's listed somewhere, and you just got to find it. So what was that all about, and why was they not able to come in, and why was it forever? And so there's Deuteronomy 23:3-5. We may go there. Deuteronomy 23:3-5. Deuteronomy 23. Boy, I thought I had that sucker marked. There we go. 3-5. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even till their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Now, what does that mean? It said, can't enter in into the 10th generation, but then can't enter in forever. What is possibly going on there? Because if there are two ways to marry, right? The men of these areas, the Ammonites or Moabites, can the men not marry to an Israelite, but can an Israelite marry to a Moabite? Brother Jeff, you know any women Moabites that married after this point in time?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I've heard one.
Amen.
Yeah. Miss Ruth.
But it said forever. But they did. So we know that was okayed by God. We're almost certain that was arranged by God. So, well, the best I could come up with, or the best, maybe I've kind of read in between the lines a little bit. The Lord is, hopefully I'm not messing this up on His behalf. But what we think's being said there is that the men are not allowed to intermarriage with the Israelites. We'll find in other places where the Egyptians were allowed to after 3 years. But the Moabites and the Ammonites were not allowed to. But if an Israelite decided to marry an Ammonite or a Moabite, that would have been allowed after 10 generations. So as to not rush that, and we're getting close in time, maybe we could study out some of that this week, and some of us bring back some more answers to that, or tell me how bad I messed that up. But I know without a doubt, I feel very confident that God ordained that marriage of Ruth. He allowed that to happen because we know the lineage that come out of that marriage, and we know that God was okay with that.
Amen.
So when we read something like that, your first thought is, boy, that's contradictory. It says the 10th generation, but then says can't do it forever. There's another answer. There's another answer there before you just dismiss that or say that the book's wrong. We'll probably just pick back up and start from the 13th chapter next week. But if y'all want to go ahead and do some reading ahead, this is a really cool chapter. Finishes up a fantastic book in Nehemiah. But if nothing else, we'll just consider self-dismissed this morning.